But that's just something that I've always wondered.
Yeah, I think the merits of a zombie horse are merit debating, really. Hey, applauders. This is Naomi McQuaid, and you've made it through a lot of the never-ending story. But as a special treat, just for you, my nephew Lucas Corcoran has a few things he'd like to say about the film.
Hi, I'm Lucas Corcoran. The first thing I want to say, when you're going through the movie, when you look at the ivory tower for the first time, like from the bottom angle, tell me it does not look like a neon fidget spinner on a neon stick.
It really does, guys. When he said it, I almost died.
And I just want to say, another bit is just really weird since the guy and the guy's bat look through the window like they think they're not allowed because, like, every other creature is allowed. It's like they're just, like, peering through the window just like, no, I'm not here.
Dude is sticking his hand through the window.
Yeah, true. How does nobody notice? So, yeah. This other thing is, I'm pretty sure Rockbiter, whenever he eats, like, 5 million pounds or a bunch of rocks turn into a mini meteor shower on whoever's near him. Like, it's seriously, meteor shower for a... he eats a boulder. Meteor shower! Yeah. And the other thing, I'm pretty sure the racer snail is also a rock biter since he ate a rock or something. I can't remember what it was. Made him fart, and then he went fast.
Wait a second. Okay, did the gentleman who rode the racing snail fed the snail a thing?
Yeah.
And then he took off like a shot?
Yeah, and it looked like he was farting like heck.
Okay, maybe it was Pop Rocks.
Maybe.
Okay.
Anyway, the other thing is, in the end, I know, like, how Atreyu has, like, the thing where he can wish for something and it comes true, but how does Artex come back from the dead? Because, I mean, I can understand some things where, like, things come from back from the dead, but that's Walking Dead.
You're upset that Artex is... it's not a zombie horse?
I'm just confused, because, yes, he might be a zombie horse, but also, Bastion wished for him to be alive and well, I'm guessing. But, in the beginning, wouldn't he be either covered in mud, or slightly nauseated, from being drowned in mud, then being resurrected about 5 days later, or something?
That's a very good point.
But that's just something that I've always wondered.
Yeah, I think the merits of a zombie horse are merit debating, really. Because so many of the other things that that come back have been kind of gobbled up by the nothing. And so when something that has died, because, you know, the horse died, yeah. It didn't get eaten by the nothing, like, maybe that has something to do with why you would consider it a zombie horse a more appropriate solution to that.
And is the nothing still alive, or is it just, like, gone since when he wished for everything to be back to normal?
You think Bastion banished the nothing?
Either that, or it's just really small and just slowly growing like a disease. Like, let's say, this is a little off subject while still on subject. Like, if, let's say, you cure flu, from time to time, somebody will get it. So it's kind of like that. Friend, the flu is the nothing, and the people is the dreamland thing.
That's crazy. That's malignant. You know, that's the word malignancy. It just means it's something that's going to continue to grow, even if you're fighting it. Oh, my goodness.
I've just always wondered it.
Yeah. I got a special request. Because we often do impressions in this podcast. What do you think Morla's voice should sound like? Go for it. Say something she would say, like, I'm allergic to youth. We are allergic to youth. That's what she'd say. Say that. We are allergic to youth. But how would she say it?
What about, like, we don't care about anything, not even caring about
it? Yeah. Yeah.
So, this is going to be a little difficult. I'm going to mark my spot.
That's a good idea.
I don't care.
That's great. That's great. Go for it.
I don't care about anything, or we don't care about anything, and we don't even care about Carrie.
That is so good. That is brilliant. I would give that full points.
It was a little difficult.
Do you see all the smiles in this room? That was perfect.
Yes. The other thing is, if you haven't catched this when you watch it, try pausing it and just slowing it down, or like pause it and then play it, and then pause it and play really quickly. When she's breathing in to sneeze, her eyes will like roll like opposite directions in her head,
like opposite cross.
Yeah, and he's just like neep.
She does.
And like, I swear, she has a tornado in her nose when she sneezes.
She sneezes him off the tree like 3 times.
Yeah. Well, I think twice, since one time he was holding on, but almost. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure he was holding on for his dear life.
Oh man.
The other thing is, my Uncle John made this funny joke related to Star Wars. Like, when they meet the dragon dog. I'm just going to call him that because I don't remember 100% the name.
His name is Falcor.
Okay, right. when Falcor was talking, John made this joke where that's the mouth of where the Millennium Falcon landed. And I remember that so clear. I laughed so much I could barely breathe.
pretty big mouth.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, Falcon, Falcor.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, headcanon. We're making headcanon.
And like, and you know how like Morla, I remember the name, said is like 10,000 miles. I feel like how would she know, since she doesn't care about anything and she doesn't even care about caring? How would that resemble to like, oh, I know this, when you don't care about anything?
Well, here's the thing. Wanting to do something and, like, knowledge and motivation are two different things, I would say. That's how I'd answer that.
Yeah. Probably how I would answer it as
Look,
well.
Look, I know how to make a boat, but I do not want to. How much more you got?
To near the end.
You got 2 or 3 more points, something like that?
I can just skip a part of it since...
Pick your favorite ones. I want to do what you want to talk about. And if we can go through ones quickly, then it's okay to do them all.
I'm just going to have 2 real quick, and if there's more time, I'll do the rest.
Okay.
Got it?
That's a good idea.
One of them was...
This is great, by the way.
When Bastion realizes the story was true, his face looked like he just peed himself.
That is absolutely right.
Like, he was just like, I just peed myself. Okay, let's move on.
I mean, luckily there was a rainstorm so that if you walked home or whatever, it'd be all right. Or you could just wish for cleaner pants.
Yeah, true. Hmm. True. He looked like he did that.
Oh, man.
The other thing is, the person that was with the scientist who had the telescope, I forget the name.
Oh, Angie Wook is the dude, and the chick is Urgle.
Okay, so why would Urgle say... You're not well until it hurts. Cause, well, I can halfway believe that, since sometimes when you're healing, it'll hurt or sting for a little bit, mm-hmm. and then it'll get better. Mm-hmm. But the weird bit is, like, when you're stabbed and it hurts, you're not getting well.
Oh, I got an answer to that. I got an answer to that, friend, because one, I wrote that in that line too. Because I was like, girl, why are you telling a kid that he gotta hurt to get better or whatever? But I will tell you that pain is something that totally has a purpose, yeah. and it's to tell you that there's something wrong. And maybe something wrong isn't something that you need to fix. Maybe it's just something you need to let heal.
Yeah.
Maybe it's something you need to fix, and you should probably get that sword out of you. But I'm just saying that pain serves a purpose, and I think that's what she might be trying to say.
Yeah, and also, if you ever have a sword stabbed in you, which is not likely, don't take it out, because then you'll bleed more. The sword is holding in all the blood.
That's true. You make a donut bandage, hold it in place, and make sure that you greet first responders or get to a medical facility as quickly as possible.
Yeah. A little off subject, but back to the story.
Okay, go for it.
The other thing is, I feel like in like the thing where like the Dreamland place blew up,
mm-hmm.
Fantasia, I remember the name.
Yep, got it. Awesome.
Like what? I mean, I can understand like the princess or something can hold it together since she has a bond with the Nazian or something. But the thing I don't understand is, how is, like, every bit, like, including the mountain it's sitting on, is perfectly fine.
I said the same thing to Lydia. I was like, how is everything blown up but not her place? And you're probably right. It's her place, and she's supposed to be the most powerful thing.
And this is a little back, but the like top of the ivory tower is so small. Like, you would think it's like enough to fit like a mansion in or something.
Mm-hmm. It's got like a room with a bed in it. She don't need a lot. She's a fancy being.
Pretty much. But like, how'd they get down from the ivory tower? Since basically, I haven't seen any ladders or any transportation to get it down. Or do they just, like, magically dream up a staircase?
That's a good question. These are the practical things that I always look for in a film. But you notice that the only people we see arriving or departing have winged creatures with them.
True. There's also wood creatures that are immobile, at least.
Yeah, the big-headed wooden one-looking guys? That does, and their faces are so big.
The last thing that I have in my book...
Yeah, what?
...is the Southern Oracle.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like it's sculpted out of ice. And, like, this is part of what my aunt said. When, like, they were falling apart, she said they were broken and they were reconstructed with glitter glue.
Because they did. They looked like they were made with glitter glue. Pretty much, don't try to... sometimes I give cautionary warnings to our listeners. Applauders, don't fix your Sphinx ice sculptures with glitter glue. It makes it inedible to your party guests. Just let nature happen and enjoy a piece of chipped sphinx ice in your tasty beverage.
Or just take a tiny scalpel and just slowly carve it out so it looks like it was normal.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, do that.
Or just make another one.
Get another 8, 12, 13 story block of blue ice. Ice block of ice.
And 5,000 chainsaws. Oh, by the way.
All right.
The other thing is, like, after, when he fights, like, the, I forget the...
Just describe him, I'll tell you who it is.
The black...
Gamork is the wolf guy.
Yeah, yeah, Gamork. I thought that was his name, I just wasn't for sure.
Hmm.
When, like, Atreyu fights Gamork, like, there's a mystical rock that is in the perfect shape of a knife. And...
Oh, I thought it was a knife that he brought with him.
No, it was a fragment.
Oh, like he just picked it up off the ground?
Yeah.
Snap, I was misled this whole time. That's why I was making fun of you guys for being like, why are you like talking about this thing as if it's specially brought it with him? Okay, good call. Good calling on it. Go on.
The other thing is, like Mork has no scars on him. And like Atreyu holds the knife out where like, even if he attacks, he's going to get stabbed. Yet Atreyu has so many scars on him. And like Mork has like the position of like he was... like jumping out at him,
mm-hmm.
and then got stabbed.
Yeah.
Yet Atreyu has so many injuries. Did he like get those magically?
Well, maybe Gamork's paws were like in front of him when he attacked him, and he was like, woof, like did like a striking out motion. True.
But his arms was like this, and or something like this,
uh-huh.
and there's scars on his chest. But if Gamork's claws were like that, it would just touch his arms, which it did, or it kept lunging forward and. God.
Mm. You know what they call those things? Mm. When an action does not match up with, like, the clothing or, like, the stage makeup or whatever, they call that a continuity error. And they're really fun to look up if you're a bit pedantic. And I am.
Or you're bored.
But I try not to bring them up here.
Or you're bored at work.
Exactly right.
And you have some free time.
That's so true.
Don't skip work or school.
Remember, you gotta put a disclaimer. You gotta be like applauders.
Yeah.
Don't skip school or work. All right. You got anything else? We wrapping up?
One more thing until we wrap up.
Okay.
When, like, the father in the beginning, like, stops to, like, crack the egg, it looks like he's like, is this the right texture of egg?
Is this
the right egg? Okay, it's good.
He does pause with that egg. I don't like the feeling of holding an egg. Not very long at all.
Like, he just rolls it around just in and just, is this the right texture?
I think he's
is this the right taste?
like how you motioned, like, you're about to take a bite out of it like an apple. But I think he's supposed to be thinking about what his son is thinking, but you're right. But can you believe that, would you drink that drink?
It looks like eggnog, but gross because they put orange juice in it.
It's an egg and orange juice.
Whoever does that, sorry, but that would just, that just sounds like swallowing your own barf.
Absolutely correct.
And I've done that. Right. I've done that many a time because I didn't want to barf in school.
Okay. That's a weird flex, but thanks for sharing it.
Yeah.
Do you want to go? Do you want to do a sign off? You can say, thanks for joining us, applauders. Like that.
Yeah. I might go from time to time, but I'm not sure. But it's nice doing this right now. See you later. Goodbye.
That was pretty good, man.